Luke said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, you think, well, I can get there another way, you're sadly mistaken. You need the Lord. All right, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 this morning. You turn there, I'm turning there. And while you're finding your place, I want to read a quick thank you note from Brother Joe Bryant. Said, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being with you for your Sunday services. You and your people were very kind to my wife and I, and we enjoyed the time of fellowship. I also appreciate the good love offering and the comfortable place to rest and all the meals that was provided for us. We cherish your love and friendship. May God richly bless and meet your every need as you continue to serve him faithfully. And we appreciate Brother Joe, and I hope we can get him over here again. He's a good preacher. Tell you what, you get a good preacher, you better use him if you can. And let God allow us to be exposed to good men. Hebrews 13, verse number 8, God says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good day. Thank you for blessing. God, I want to thank you for the good singing that our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. And Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us the blessed privilege of being able to be in your house again. And God, I pray that you take your word, use it, God, that it might literally change our lives today. There may be one here lost and without God. I pray that you'd save that dear soul today. I pray, God, you'd strengthen the Christian. God, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do. And God, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you, for we pray and ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here, Paul said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to bring you a message on this thought. After 29 years plus 10, what's changed? Now, the only reason I have for giving you those numbers is because I've been a child of God for 39 years. And I've been pastor of Maple Grove Baptist Church for 10 years, but 10 of those 39 has been here, or my salvation has been here. And I'm glad for it. Now, Brother Joe preached last Sunday, and I appreciate the good messages that he gave us, encouraged our hearts with, and seeing God work. But I want to ask you this question this morning. Has anything changed in those years? Has anything changed since you've been saved? There has been a lot of changes in the world since we got saved. There have been a lot of changes, and a lot of these changes are for good. I don't necessarily run down all changes. I'm glad for some good changes. And then there are some things that have been changed that have not been so good. But I want to bring you a message on this morning on some things that hadn't changed and won't change and never will change. Amen. Number one, God hadn't changed. He's never changed. Malachi said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord God and I change not, he said. Well, I'm glad God hadn't changed, Brother Hillary. I'm glad that we can look at Hebrews 13, 8, and not only does it apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it applies to the God of heaven. I'm saying God has not changed one single bit in his existence. How long has God existed? He's been here forever. I mean, listen, before this world ever was, before there was ever a sun, moon, stars, before there ever was a man created in the likeness of God, God always has been. God has lived in eternity past, And God will continue to live in eternity future. And God will never change one little bit. I'm glad God hadn't changed. I'm glad God's not up and down. Now, there are a lot of things that style changes and all these kinds. I mean, you know, we've talked about that and preached about that before. But I mean, your clothing style changes and a different thing changes. And as we grow older, our appearance changes. I mean, our body changes. There's a lot of changes that take place. But I'm glad God's consistent and constant. He never changes. In other words, you and I, when we first heard about God, we didn't have to go back and let's see what he was in the beginning, see what he's like now. Hey, he's never changed. And I'll give you something about God that's not changed that ought to cause you to rejoice this morning. And it seems like some of the singing kind of went that away. Look in Romans chapter 5 with me. I want to show you something that has not changed and never will change. Romans chapter number 5, we see that the love of God has not changed. In Romans chapter 5, let me just back up and read, beginning with verse number 6. He said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But oh, I love verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." But Brother Derek, I've quoted Romans 5:8 all my Christian life. I've read it all my Christian life. The day that I got saved, the man that led me to the Lord pointed out Romans 5:8, and he said, "Son, read that." And I read it. "But God commendeth his love." And just this past week, I got to thinking on that word, commendeth. I said, now what does that mean? And you back up and read verse number 6 and 7 that we read, and it talked about dying for a good man, some would scarcely do. Dying for a bad man, nobody's going to do that but God. I'm talking about when we were vile and filthy and wretched and destitute and away from God. God commended his love. And you know what that word commendeth me? One of the many meanings to that word means he strengthened his love toward us. Oh, listen, you can look at creation, oh, there's a God. And you can see how God has met the basic needs of lost men and lost women and saved men and saved women. God allows us to eat. God allows us to wear clothes. God allows us to drive cars. I'm saying lost people do those things. And so when we say, "God loved me, look what he's done for me. I've got something to wear. I've got a house to live in. I've got a car to drive." Hey, lost people have those things. But that's not how we prove God's love. God's love was strengthened by the fact that he looked down on us and said, "I'm going to give them more than just their basic needs. I'm going to give them their eternal needs. I'm going to give them that which will change them from here to heaven." He said, God strengthened, God proved, God showed his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners. But I'm glad down through the years God's love hadn't changed. Oh, listen, your love and my love for one another and different ones, it changes. I mean, couples grow old, grow up, grow apart and all these, a lot of things. I mean, children will do things and boy, they'll get out of favor with mom and daddy. And boy, parents will just say, "Boy, I just even wish you wasn't born," all these kind of things. But I'm saying even when we were yet in our sins, God loved us. God, not one time did he ever say, "I wish you wasn't born." Job said that about himself. He said, "Oh, to God, I'd never been born. That I'd never seen the light of day from my mother's womb." Boy, I'm glad God's love's constant. It hadn't changed one bit. God save an old sinner today, just like he did when this book was written. My dear friend, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Hey, he said, that's the one that needs salvation. Jesus said he didn't come and call the righteous repentant. I mean, those already saved, hey, they don't need it. They got it already. But God commended. And boy, I just got thinking about that one word, commended. God showed, God strengthened. And most time, you know how we show our love for one another? We do things for one another. And usually we do it because we deserve it. I was talking, I can't remember who it was here a day or two ago about a, or maybe it was one of the preachers said it. I think one of the preachers out the camp meeting talking about a job he had, and at a very young age, he was supervisor over a lot of older men. I believe that's where I heard it. Why did he get that position? He worked hard. He showed himself worthy of that position. But you know what? You and I was not worthy of God's love. We were not worthy of God giving himself for us. We were not worthy of God even taking second thought at us and saying, boy, that crowd down there, they're not worthy. See, God didn't tell you and I to put ourselves up to where we would finally attain and reach a level where we'd be. Hey, we were unworthy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, God says. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a one of us worthy of God's love this morning. Not one. I'm no matter preacher's not worthy of God's love. Nobody is worthy of God's love. But God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Isn't it amazing after we get saved how we even change the play on that word sinner? See, before we got saved, we were vile and destitute and wretched and naked before God and doomed and damned and going to hell. But God commended his love. Now that we're saved, sitting on church pew, been saved 15, 20 years, some of us longer. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like that old boy down yonder. Boy, I hope he don't come to our church. Hey, if you act like that and if I have that attitude, we're saying we're better than they are. We're no better than the lowest of the low. The only difference between them and us is we're saved now. We know the Lord. We've been born again. But we'd have never gotten to the position of where we are had God not commended his love toward us. And I know, my, listen, God didn't just say, I'll send Christ to die, and we'll say more about the Lord to me. But notice, he said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God hadn't changed in his love toward me. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. God, well, I get ahead of myself. Let me just go on with this. Not only has God not changed, but Jesus hadn't changed. That's the verse we read. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. That means right now, in the very present. He hadn't changed from the beginning. He's not changed today. And he'll not be changed tomorrow. My wife and I were going somewhere the other day, and I think it was me and her going. We were going somewhere, and she saw a sign or something that said something about, well, I know where it was. We was going to Hendersonville to see Brother Crumpler when he was in the hospital, but they had a thing up there on the church, a sign out there said something about this Sunday be casual Sunday. No ties has to be worn. Now it won't stop right there with the ties. I'll just go ahead and tell you. If I could have gone into that service that Sunday, I'd expect if we could have gone in there, we'd have seen no difference in how they dress there and how they dress down yonder in the world. But I believe there ought to be a difference in how you attend God's house. But anyway, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hey, do you know Jesus has always been the Son of God? Jesus is not just another prophet. He's more than just a good man. He's even better than the angels. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 1, if you would. I want to read this to you. Listen to what God says here in Hebrews chapter number 1. Just in case you might doubt. He said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Now listen to this. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Talking about Jesus. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus, my dear friend, was there in creation. God consulted with the Son. Not that he needed direction, not that he needed a second opinion, not that he needed Jesus to correct him, but he is God. Jesus is God. And God said through him, he made the worlds. He said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Other words, God say, can you imagine who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person? Other words, when we think about Jesus and when we speak of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we should think of him not one single bit less than God the Father that's in heaven. God said he is the express image. Other words, he is God. And boy, I'm glad of that. But now notice verse number 6 or 4. Being made so much better than the angels. Now I believe in guardian angels. I do. I believe in angels. The Bible speaks of angels. But my dear friend, we better not ever put an angel above Jesus. If we're guilty of doing this, we'll run around and say, boy, my angel's with me today. Let's back up a little bit. Jesus was with us through his angel, if you want to set that away. He's better than the angel. You can have all the angels you want to. I want Jesus. He said, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inheritance, or he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Boy, that goes right along with that song Brother Shane sang. There is no other name. There is no greater name. I mean, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be falling down and saying, holy, 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 God bless the angels. No, sirree. We're going to fall down and worship his holy name. He's by inheritance hath attained a more excellent name than they, for unto which the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. When Jesus was born, what did the angels do? They worshiped him. Now, I'm just saying to us this morning, Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is greater than the angels. He's always been the Son of God, but he's never changed. And just because he left heaven and came down to this earth, he was no less God in human form than he was when he was with the Father in heaven. He humbled himself, the Bible says. And he took upon him the form of a servant. He was obedient to the Father. I heard a preacher say the other day, and I can't remember if it was camp meeting or just on the radio. He said, He said this. He said, when Jesus was at the point of having to die on the cross, he said, sure, they may have thrown him down. I mean, they literally may have pushed him down. He said, but he said, there wasn't no struggle when it come to nailing those nails down into his arms. He said, Jesus laid it out there and said, put it in, boys. He laid that and out and said, put it in. Have you got it good and tight? He said, I'm better than Houdini. I mean, you bury me, you kill me, you seal that tomb, and I guarantee you I'll escape. I mean, in he went. 3 days later, out he came. The Son of God always has been, always will be. I'm saying he's God, he's never changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, I'm glad he hadn't changed. Son, Jesus hadn't changed. Hey, his power hadn't changed. Boy, aren't you glad of that this morning? I mean, can you think about the power of God? Now, usually when we think about the power of God, immediately we think about miracles. We think about him giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, walking ability to the lame and all that. But the greatest miracle ever happened to you and me is when we got saved. I'm no matter what power. I was listening Saturday night, last night. I was sitting on my back porch. And I was listening to my 50 cent yard sale radio that I bought several months ago, and I was about to throw it away. And I said, well, I'm going to see if that thing will pick up something. And I sat back there sometimes listening to ball games, but last night I listened to Unshackle. And talk about this old pro golfer back in the 50s. I mean, he was, boy, made tons of money. Back in the 50s, he was wasting his money on drugs and alcohol and sex and all these things, lost his eye, all these kind of things. I mean, he was down. He was about gone. He was at death's door. And the old chaplain come in and prayed for him and said, can I pray for you? And he said, no, I don't want you praying for me. He said, well, let me pray. He said, all right. And he said, God, because that golfer guy said, God can't do nothing for me. And the chaplain prayed and said, God, I was worse than this man when you saved me. Would you do for him what you did for me? And to make a long story short, the old golfer got saved, turned his life around, went all over the country preaching Jesus. I'm said God in his power to change a man. This old golfer said when he asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him, he said, I got up from there, still weak in the flesh, still about to die. He said, but the craving for alcohol was gone. The craving for drugs was gone. The craving for everything that he wanted before he got saved was gone. And I'm telling you, that's the greatest miracle that ever happened to you and me. It's when God saved no sinner. On our way to hell, God saved. And by the way, you don't have to be a drunk and a drug addict to be a sinner. What's the qualifications of being a sinner, preacher? Being born of fleshly mamas and fleshly daddies. That's all it takes to be qualified to be a sinner before God. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He wasn't talking about being born out of wedlock. He was talking about the fact that my mama's a sinner, my daddy's a sinner, and without God, we're all sinners. But oh, the power of God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Man, when he was in the glories of heaven with his Father, before this world was any, before it was anything, while it was still dark, black, nothing, he's still God. And then he created. He made it the way he wanted it. Day by day, and I believe it was a literal 24-hour day each day. 6 literal days God created this world. And then God said, I think I'll crown it off. He said, let us make man in our image. So that all make you and I as a Christian, we just want to jump and shout and holler and scream. I mean, just praise God to his glorious name. The fact that God created us in his image. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily having the same color hair, eyes, and all that. When I was born, I may have told you this, I think I have. All my family had black hair and brown eyes, darker skin than me. I was born brown hair and blue eyes, light skin. My daddy used to tell me, son, we found you under a cabbage leaf. Em, I believed that for about 12 years. I did. I believed that for a long time. found me under a cabbage leaf. What a place to find a youngin', under a cabbage leaf. You know where God found us? In the depths of sin, sinking on our way to hell. But God reached down and picked us up and set us on that solid rock. Wrote our name in heaven. I'm saying He changed us. Boy, I'm glad God can change. And He changed us. And see, we talk about being like Him. See, God's talking about you and I being like Him in character. We're creating His likeness. And you know what? We're literally supposed to be after God saved us. God's preordained that we should be like Him. And I don't mean any harm by this when I say this at all, but God wants us to be little Jesuses, like Him. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was our greatest example. Now, I got my spiritual heroes, I do. But some of my spiritual heroes have failed. And don't you dare put your preacher up on such a pedestal that you think he won't never fail. He can fail. He can fall short. He can, except by the grace of God, be in the gutter tomorrow night. I hope that don't happen. See, what we need to do is put eyes on Jesus. So He ain't changed. I got preacher friends of mine that have changed in their theology. They don't any longer believe this Bible to be the whole Word of God. They're using other versions. Perversions, I call them. That's all they are. See, I believe not only could God inspire the Word, but I believe God can keep His Word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall abide. How long? Forever. I believe in divine inspiration. I believe in divine preservation. Hey, you're not going to do away with this Word. See, Jesus hadn't changed His plan on how men get saved today. It's still by grace through faith. You try to get saved any other way, you're not going to get saved. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. That don't change. God's word about hell hadn't changed. Hell's still an awful place. It's still a wicked place. It's still a place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare that for you and I to go to. But men go there by the thousands every day because they refuse to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word hadn't changed about heaven. Brother John this morning mentioned heaven, talking about really going home. I mean, talking about going home. I ain't never owned a home down here. I may not. But you know what God hadn't changed on His promises? He said, I'll meet you every need. I got a house to live. It's not mine, but I'm living in. And when one day I get too old to preach and I have a stroke, some of your children will be moved out by then. You'll take me and your wife into y'all's house and say, live with us, preacher. We'll be glad to have you. And if you don't do that, that means you don't believe the Word of God. Yeah, take care of the preacher. Hey, don't use a preacher like a spare tire. Don't use him while he can preach and while he can teach and while his wife can teach Sunday school and do these things. But when they get old, let's just throw them out to the dogs. No, no, no. You better take care of them. Amen. That won't cost you any extra. The little old woman in 1 Kings chapter 4, God blessed her. Made some oil for her. She didn't forget. She told her husband, said, let's build a little chamber on the side of the house here for the preacher. Y'all build me one, would you? I mean, one day I'm not going to be able to stand and preach. One day I'll have to be confined to a bed. One day I won't be able to get around. Would you build a little room? Have a little platform go up to it so my wife can run my wheelchair in and out. Don't throw me out when I get too old. See, that's what people do. They throw God out. Hey, He's not changed! We serve Him because He's an unchangeable God. But God's idea about how to live hadn't changed. And boy, I got so much more I need to give Him. But God just hadn't changed about heaven and hell. He ain't changed about His plan on salvation. God hadn't changed His plan on worship, how we're to worship Him. We don't worship Buddha. We don't worship Mohammed. We don't worship a dead God. We serve a living God. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a coming again Savior. I like what Brother John, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, and if I go, he said, that won't be the last you see me. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you and I may move a dozen times before we get to glory. But that's not going to confuse God. He knows where we are at all times. I told you when I was in school, elementary school, I went to 6 different elementary schools every year or something. I went to maybe more than that because there's a time or two my mama, we'd move sometime twice a year. That's a wonder I got any education at all. We'd just move. We'd move so much, some of our kinfolk didn't even know where we were. But may I say to you, once God's got your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can move every day of your life if you want to. He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. He knows where you are. And so when he nudges old Gabriel or whoever it might be that blows that trumpet, when that trumpet sounds, Jesus won't have to say, now wait a minute, let me find out where they are. He knows exactly where you are. And up we'll go. And if we are already dead bodily, and our souls already, hey, up from the grave, and more bodies will come. God ain't got no, hey, don't worry about changing address on God. He knows where you are. And by the way, once God saved you, he gave you a permanent address. I saw a letter several years ago a fella had sent, and he had put on there, when I was pastor in Alabama, he had wrote on the letter, Tommy Carlisle, 305 Old Montgomery Highway, we come to Alabama, I forget the zip code, but then at the bottom it said, United States of America. And I said, boy, I like that. But may I say, you and I were once born into this country. We're nationalized citizens. And it don't matter what four corners of the U.S. we live, we'll always be citizens of America. But hey, when God wrote our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't care if you go slap dab around the world, you're still a citizen of heaven. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Father, God, I'm glad that you are a God that changes not. And Lord, I pray that the unchangeable God of heaven would speak to our hearts today in this invitation. God, there may be someone here today lost and without Jesus. Oh God, help them to see that you commended your love toward them. God, I believe with all my heart that if we'd been the only sinner born, Jesus would have still gone to the cross and taken our place, paid our sin debt so that we could go to heaven. God, I pray that you'd speak to that heart that's lost today. God, save them before it's too late. God, I pray that you'd strengthen the Christian. Help us, God, to renew our resolve with thee. God, that we'll love you, serve you, and God, that we'd not change with the world, but we'd stick to Jesus. Bless in this invitation, and Father, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for what you do, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Shane, you come. He's going to lead us in the stands of an invitation. If you need the Lord, you need to be saved, you step out. You don't wait, you just come right on. And we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you just need to come pray, come. And let the Lord have his way in your heart. What number, brother? 358 at the bottom of the page. 358. All right, let's stand and sing, and you let the Lord have his way in your life this morning. Hallelujah.